Every car I meet looks like your car. Every movie I see, you play the leading part. You're on my mind. I can't leave you behind. When I close my in the dark of night, you're in my dreams. Throughout the day, you're easy to find. You're always there when I close my eyes. I know you're far away, but here in my heart.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. At a courthouse in Norfolk, Virginia today, New York Attorney General Letitia James pleaded not guilty in a case brought against her by the Trump administration. Federal prosecutors allege James engaged in mortgage fraud, but she says the president is attempting to weaponize the justice system. A jury trial is set for this January. Trade talks with Canada are now off the table, according to President Trump. It comes after the province of Ontario aired an ad featuring a critique of tariff policy that President Reagan made in a 1987 radio address.
Throughout the world, there's a growing realization that the way to prosperity for all nations is rejecting protectionist legislation and promoting fair and free competition.
President Trump and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney are expected to meet in the coming days during a trip to Asia. Consumer prices rose 3% in September compared to a year ago, according to government data released today. This is ABC News. Authorities have still not identified the cause of that massive explosion at a factory in Tennessee earlier this month. The ATF says they have several working hypotheses and that they've now been able to determine the blast came from the main level of the facility, which itself makes explosives for the mining industry. Officials say at least 24,000 tons of explosives went off on October 10th, killing at least 16 people. Sports betting reform is now in the spotlight after multiple NBA stars and staff members were indicted this week as part of a criminal scheme. ESPN senior NBA insider Shams Charania on the need for sports betting reform.
There's going to be changes to the gambling structures with sports books. There's already been conversations, from my understanding, that the league has had with the different sports book entities across the country and how they can help minimize situations like this so this does not become commonplace.
Mike Dabusky, ABC News.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen, I'm Raymond Newpert. The parents of a 4-year-old West Allis boy found dead face charges in the child's death. 31-year-old Charlotte Couric and 20-year-old DeVario Cruz face multiple felony charges in Milwaukee County in the death of Dante Campbell last week. Police say Dante was found covered in bruises on his arms, back, face, and head, and that Cruz admitted to police that he had struck his son, but that he had only, quote, used his hands. Cruz is also suspected of abusing other children in the home, including Dante's twin sister. Cruz is being held on a $250,000 cash bond. Couric is held on a $100,000 cash bond. Her other children have been taken into care. Republican lawmakers again introducing legislation to allow for medical cannabis use in Wisconsin. Tomahawk State Senator Mary Felskowski says people should have access to medical marijuana to help them avoid opioids.
Someone who suffers from a serious health condition should not have to make the choice to travel to another state or break the law so that they can try an alternative medicine for relief. Unfortunately, this is the position in which we put many Wisconsinites. It is time to give our friends, family members suffering from chronic illnesses the freedom to use medical cannabis.
Under the proposed legislation, an Office of Medical Cannabis Regulation would be created to oversee patient registries and dispensaries. Following a report by the Capital Times alleging the Wisconsin Department of Instruction mishandled investigations into alleged teacher sexual misconduct, State Superintendent Jill Underley was a no-show for a committee hearing at the Capitol Thursday. Committee Chair Representative Amanda Nedweski.
It appears to me that this critical subject was not important enough for her to even acknowledge other than a simple written response to the Cap Times article. And I guess she put out a video this morning.
Deputy State Superintendent Tom McCarthy says it's more difficult for DPI to remove teachers because grooming isn't defined under the statutes. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between. Find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly sunny Friday afternoon, a light south to southeast wind at highs in the mid-50s. More clouds will gather tonight and a chance of some rain, lows in the upper 30s. Early rain Saturday, then partly sunny in mid-50s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently 46 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Tonight, but he will meet with Chinese President Xi next week in South Korea. We need to set expectations for that meeting. Cattle. The market has been run over by trade issues and White House efforts to bring down beef prices, and all this while the government is still shut down. We got a lot of ground to cover on the free-for-all.
Live, gosh, cattle, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all. With panelists Randy Russell from the Russell Group and policy OG Jim Wiesmeyer. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lurie.
All right, Davis. Yeah, we might as well jump straight to what you were referencing there, and that is this cattle trade. Feeder cattle limit down again. November
already.
Contract. Yeah, yeah. November contract. Gosh, I should have had this up in front of me before we even started, but I don't. But it's down 9.25 here this morning. This week, on Monday morning, November feeder cattle topped at 375.15. That was the high of the week. Okay, we are at 352.20. We're down $23 on the week.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough... I don't care what market you're talking about. That is a tough week, no question. And the headlines just continue to fly around the Trump administration's and the efforts to bring beef prices down for consumers. That's the bottom line is what it comes to, Davis.
Well, I don't know that I've ever seen anyone angry at Canada before.
This is
unprecedented. Have we?
Oh, no, wait. That was Trump then, too. Yeah, never mind.
Same guy.
Same guy. Yeah, but come on. Those that are familiar with the policies of Ronald Reagan know that we'll get into it in the when we get Randy and Jim on here.
Yeah.
But the quotes that the Ontario government pulled for that ad were taken out of context.
Just
Let's just put it that way. Yeah, just a little. No question about it. Welcome to AgriTalk. Man, oh, man, like I said, we have got a lot of ground that we need to cover this this Friday. Wiesmeyer, Wiesmeyer's Perspectives is going to be in here. And Randy Russell's going to join us at the bottom of the hour from the Russell Group DC. So
that'll be cool.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. Let's get started with news.
I'm going to have to go quick. The National Weather Service is looking for showers and thunderstorms to expand in coverage today ahead of an upper low and associated surface frontal system moving into the southern plains. An upper level ridge expanding northward from the interior west into the northern plains will bring well above average highs, particularly for the northern tier locations with 60s and even some 70s possible. Chip, still chilly there in central Iowa?
Yeah, 40 degrees here right now.
Yeah, so
it's chilly, no question.
Well, in the overnight, December corn down 1 cent. Jan beans a quarter cent lower, hit a five-week high overnight. December HRW and SRW wheat futures were steady to up to a cent and a quarter, three-week highs overnight there. The U.S. dollar was mildly higher with crude futures generally steady around 61.75 ahead of the open. Looks like we got some pressure on the corn and beaners.
Yeah, exactly. Nearby corn is leading the way to the downside. Deese is down 4 cents. Soybeans are mixed. Meal is still working higher with bean oil lower. Wheat, let's just call that mixed. We already talked about what's going on in the feeder cattle now on fed cattle. Yeah. Deese fed cattle, 234.57.5 is the last tick I've got at, and that is down $6.60. Lean hogs are mixed.
Well, and Chip, all we had to do was talk about it. Gold prices fell below $4,100 per ounce today, on track to end a nine-week winning streak. Pressured by heavy selling after repeatedly hitting record highs in recent sessions, the metal dropped more than 5% earlier this week, marking its largest intraday loss in 5 years. A little good news. In the first 7 months of this year, American fuel ethanol exports averaged 138,000 barrels per day, the highest January through July data going back to 2010, 9% more than 2024's annual record for fuel ethanol exports. The Energy Information Administration said the U.S. is heading toward a record amount of ethanol exports in 2025. Increased exports to the Netherlands accounted for most of the growth from 24 to 25, reflecting Europe's growing overall demand for ethanol. President Trump said on Truth Social late yesterday he would immediately halt all trade negotiations with Canada, citing a Canadian advertisement against his signature tariffs plan featuring the voice of former President Ronald Reagan. Trump's announcement, of course, injected fresh uncertainty into one of the world's largest bilateral trading relationships. The U.S. and Canada typically exchange more than $900 billion in goods and services in a year.
So it is thought the reason that the Ontario government put this ad out there is to influence the Supreme Court arguments about the legality of the Trump tariffs.
Well, let's check in with south of the border. Mexico's ag minister will travel to D.C. next week with the aim of reaching an agreement on the reopening of the border to Mexican cattle. Amid the ongoing battle with New World screwworm, USDA Secretary Rollins has publicly criticized Mexico's response to the outbreak. Mexican President Sheinbaum is hopeful, however, an agreement can be reached that will reopen the Mexican border to cattle. Let's put a lid on it there, Chip.
All right, yeah, we're going to have some history on the Mexican border shutdown and how to dealing with the screwworm. Wiesmeyer looked it up this week, and we got to talk about it. All right, let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Morning.
Okay, the series that you've got, it's a two-part series. It's a quick read because it's a good read with Polly Dobbs. Talk to us about that.
Well, I just get a kick out of Polly because she just says it how it is. And I think she's brought some really good points up. She says, you know, what if you get hit by a bus tomorrow? You've got to have a plan in place that fits today's circumstances. And that she really drove that point home with me. You know, she talked about if your grandson is playing with his John Deere toys in the sandbox, don't create a succession plan that hinges on him coming back to the farm. Let's wait and have a plan that works for today. and make sure that we're ready for today, and we can always adjust our plan down the road. So a big point of one of the stories was just make sure you get those plans in place now and you can adjust for them later. Make sure you communicate them. Don't try to copy your neighbor. Everybody's got unique situations, and it's really up to you as the farmer to decide the best way to, you know, create the plan for your family. She also talked about some of the changes that took place with, you know, the tax acts, and she was just, you know, reiterating what those are. And she talks about that in a story that we also have on porkbusiness.com. So I think two really great reads that are quick and easy, but also drive home important points.
Yeah, absolutely. And you cover the production side of pork this week, too. Boars bringing the heat? What in the world?
Well, there's a lot of interest around iron right now and what how that impacts all stages of production, but we really haven't looked at how it affects boars. And so in a recent study, they found that boars that have higher hemoglobin levels demonstrate higher libido. And that behavioral, that drive, that's really important. And so they're going to dig into that, but it's a cool story coming up today.
Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal Pork, www.porkbusiness.com. All right, Davis, I, Wiesmeyer, we'll be right back with the free-for-all next.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, scientifically better animal nutrition. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
Joining us now, Brian Arnold, Senior Product Manager, Direct Feed Microbials at United Animal Health. Brian, welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, thank you, Chip. Glad to be here.
Glad that you are here. Animal health is right at the top of the priority list for a lot of producers. And when it comes to managing that pig health, it helps to drive profitability. And co-infections are something that we need to pay attention to, isn't it?
Right, yes. We think about, you know, managing pig health and in light of profitability, obviously, animal health is critical. And oftentimes, it's easy to find sick pigs in barns, right? We can go in, we can identify those with good animal husbandry. What gets a little more challenging oftentimes is finding the root cause of some of those health challenges. And oftentimes, I think we look for that one thing that may be causing health challenges or disease outbreaks. And in all reality, I think deep down, we understand a co-infection is likely the cause where we have multiple pathogens at play and multiple stressors contributing to disease.
What do producers need to do to better understand the causes of these co-infections?
It's a great question. I think it really starts with understanding the big picture. And a big piece of that is good diagnostics. At United Animal Health, we partner with production groups, with health and nutrition teams to utilize our PathConnect surveillance platform. And it's a pathogen surveillance platform. And what that continues to show us is when we go in and we try to work in challenge situations to better understand the clinical picture, oftentimes there's more than one pathogen that are causing issues at the sow farm and even downstream.
Where can listeners go for more information?
Yeah, so you can go online and visit unitedanh.com to learn more, and we hope to hear from you.
Fantastic, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip.
You bet. That is Brian Arnold, a senior product manager at United Animal Health.
When the game is...
I started making supplements for dairy cows in my garage and selling them to local farmers. Now First Choice Dairy Supply distributes products all across the U.S. and in 50 countries around the world. I'm Tucker Silverhorn, president of First Choice Dairy Supply, and I've been a member of Wisconsin Credit Union for over 20 years. I have a master's degree in organic chemistry. I know how to make these products, but I am not a money person. I need a partner with financial expertise, and that's Wisconsin Credit Union. I trust Wisconsin with all my financial matters because they've done such a good job of bringing different solutions to the table, being open and clear with their communication. As a business owner, I wear a lot of hats. One day I might be working on chemistry. One day I might be developing a new product. The next day I might be doing sales. Next day I might be plowing this parking lot. Having Wisconsin Credit Union come down and spend time with me, that's been really valuable for me. I run the science. They help me run the business.
Wisconsin Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
I can count on Wisconsin Credit Union.
AgriTalk is brought to you by new Proven G3 from Pivot Bio. Proven G3 is bringing corn farmers three game-changing modes of action that feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com.
For our second cousin's wedding,
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Friday morning. That means it's time for the free-for-all. And Haney is not with us this week. He'll be back with us as soon as he possibly can, tending to some family matters up in Alberta. And Haney, we are thinking about you and your whole family up there. Let's bring in Jim Wiesmeyer, Wiesmeyer's Perspectives Podcast. Good morning, Jim. Getting any rest?
It's been a long week.
Okay. Just so everybody knows, I get a text again last night from Jim. Geez, you won't believe. Here's something else. And I said to Wiesmeyer, I said, did you ever think that if you went to bed for a couple of hours, this stuff might not happen?
Here's the new way of how I report now, Chip. It's not the wire services anymore, honestly, primarily. It's Truth Social, X, Fox News, Fox Business, CNBC. Yep. And that's all through the day. You have to watch it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And the reason for that is because the Trump administration, the cabinet members, they have a plan, Jim. And when they are trying to get information out, they have that list that they go to, and that's how they are going to get it out. Now, one thing that kind of disappoints me a little bit here is Secretary Rollins, who was very available to ag media for a long time. I'll just say it. When was the last time that you saw her on ag media?
Yeah, but here's the secret of the tomb. Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, the other cabinet members, and now, of course, Brooke Rollins, they're going on those items that I mentioned before to speak to one person, their boss, Trump.
Yep.
Because they know he monitors those. So there is the big difference, Chip. They're really talking to Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, Jim, if people questioned your sanity here a couple of weeks ago when you said, listen, if you're wondering who Trump is for, all you got to do is look at the consumer. You may not want to look at farmers. That seems to be proving more and more true all the time, sir.
And it's a sensitive issue on food costs.
Yes,
and
it is.
We know that the president doesn't understand the cattle market, even now. I mean, he's all hat. But you can imagine the frustration, she'll never admit this, that Brooke Rollins must have. She had to probably cover her bases on, here she was getting together a plan, and all of a sudden, out of left field, comes the Trump message that started all this. 23 down move in feeder cattle. So right. I feel for her in that regard, but that's the way
too.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is exactly right. And the emotional reactions that we saw from President Trump this week, I mean, that's one of the things that you and I have talked about. Jeez, Jim. I mean, we're going on 10 years talking about this now, but it's the emotional reaction of President Trump that makes him lovable to me. I mean, if you want to know what he's thinking, just pay attention to what he's saying.
Yeah, you don't have to second guess. And that even true on Canada, on the Truth Social. If you knew how he feels about, he doesn't like all this rapture about the history of how many Republicans loved Reagan.
Right.
So that gets to his core, too. Again, I don't think he'll say that publicly, but that's really what probably started this thing. That struck a raw nerve with him.
Yeah, it has been really fascinating to watch as everything's going on. Okay, let's dig in. Let's start to dig in a little bit here. Let's go to the cancellation of any trade negotiations with Canada because of the ad. Why was the ad even out there?
Well, that's your. I think Canadian politics. If Sean was on, he would inform us that Ontario has their own, because they've really been hit the most on the provinces in Canada, Chip. Yeah. So they were the instigator, and it's all almost like what we discussed between Trump and his cabinet. Sometimes they get out in left field, and they probably didn't vet that approach. And so, that's really the reason why.
Okay. All right. The on again, off again meeting or planned meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi this next week in South Korea seems to be on again, correct?
From the U.S. side. We still don't have that official statement from China. I'm not saying it won't come, but I haven't seen it. So that's still that's dangling out there. So this is where Xi Jinping thinks. He thinks that China is now above the U.S. now, economically, et cetera, geopolitically. So he wants Trump to come to him. So it could be just that process. But I won't say until I see an official statement from the Chinese offices.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we say, okay, so let's put some realistic expectations in place for if this meeting does happen, what would you expect?
Well, it's what China wants. I mean, they know there's an excellent story in the Wall Street Journal that basically was headlined, Xi thinks he's got Trump's number. They've read The Art of the Deal. They know how to deal with him. He likes he'll give concessions. He likes deliverables. So he may get two or three, including, by the way, a token purchase of U.S. soybeans and sorghum, you know. But okay. What does he want in return? And it's probably Taiwan, different language on Taiwan. So we're going to see.
Okay. All right. Is Japan close to finishing up a deal with the U.S. on trade?
They are. That's almost a gimme now. Clearly signaling with their new prime minister, et cetera. And it will include some additional purchases, truly additional purchases of U.S. commodities. That's a good one. Over the weekend, Lula in Brazil wants to meet with Trump. Now, there is another one that could affect the cattle market, because if he can get a deal with Trump on lowering those additional 40%, it's 50% tariffs on Brazilian beef, hamburger, if you will, that'll be another market factor. I can't predict it, but I know that's on Lula's schedule. So he's going to meet with a number of countries while he's over there. Wow. He won't attend the APEC conference the whole time, Jeff.
Okay. I'm glad that you went to Brazil, because I'm going to go to it right now. I was shopping, grocery shopping on Tuesday. I had to get some more coffee. I drink Folgers, okay? That's what I drink.
And that's the cheapest.
Exactly. That's probably why I drink it. But you go back to 3-4 weeks ago, and the big can of classic roast was $9.99 or something like that. It's $15 this week, Wiesmeyer. There's a 50% tariff on stuff coming out of Brazil, and it showed up exactly $15.
Absolutely. Well, that tells you that, again, connect dots. It doesn't make U.S. beef or hamburger prices that onerous, does it, when you compare it to coffee? And look at the protein you get in meat versus coffee. Well, it gives me a high, but other than that, you know, it doesn't have residual value.
Right. I know we're going to talk more about beef as the conversation goes on. Once we get Randy in here, he wants to talk about the the plans to import Argentine beef. And I just want everybody to know, okay? We talk about beef pricing, we talk about cattle prices, we talk about what's going on in the futures markets today with the big price slide. I bought a beef on October 15th, which was the day before the market topped, the day before President Trump started to talk about, you know what, we need to start bringing beef prices down. And since then, the market has basically turned down, and I don't feel bad about it. Yeah. I'm, you know what, it's still something that I'm going to put in the freezer because it's still a good buy.
Demand is still good. Demand is still good.
Exactly. Wiesmeyer gets that. You don't freak out over, you know, beef prices are too high talk on this show, because it ain't happening. It ain't happening. All right, Randy Russell from the Russell Group is going to join us next here on the Free For All on AgriTalk.
Why risk it? Your herd may have antigenic gaps that are not being covered by the products currently available. Custom-made vaccines provide a unique advantage in that they can be formulated to a herd-specific bacterial and viral needs. Choose the exact isolates, adjuvant, packaging, and size you need with Vaccinova for a vaccine formulated to your needs. Find out more by visiting us at vaccinova.us.com. That's VAXXINOVA.us.com.
You say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. November and December, milk up 38. November at 1781. December, 1723. January up 42 to 1677. February up 35 to 1670. Triple-digit losses and limit down losses in many of the live and feeder cattle markets today. The trade is basically pretty much done for the week after all of the news from this week in the markets with the Argentinian imports, the response by President Trump on social media to cattle producers, and the trade has just decided they're taking profits, even though there's still some good fundamental support in the markets with the significantly lower cattle supply that we've had, but not enough. Traders are heading for the exits in mass. Hog markets higher in the nearby on some higher pork cutout values. October live cattle down 577 to 233.95. October feeder cattle down 895 to 354.50. And December hogs now up 47 cents to 82.25. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets are lower. Soybeans mostly lower. Wheat higher due to some stable Matif wheat prices. Harvest pressuring this corn and bean pits. December corn down 4.75 to 4.23 1/4. November beans down 3.25 to 10.41 1/2. December wheat up 3/4.
Can I get my physical therapy at Amplify Health in Mondovi?
You sure can. Just ask. I'm Jennifer Plates, physical therapist here at Amplify Health in Mondovi. Physical therapy offers patients access to a range of rehabilitation services like treating back and neck pain, general orthopedic conditions, pre- and post-surgery rehab, balance and fall risk assessments, workman's comp, and school sport injuries. Talk to your healthcare provider to schedule your physical therapy appointment locally at Amplify Health by Gunderson in Mondovi.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Friday morning for the free-for-all. We've gotten things started with Jim Wiesmeyer from Wiesmeyer's Perspectives podcast. Joining us now, Randy Russell from the Russell Group. Randy, great to talk with you again, man. How are you?
Chip, I'm doing great. Good to be with you. It seems like it's been a long time. I'm very much looking forward to our conversation, so thanks for having me.
I'm glad that you are here, sir. All right. You're out there in D.C., but the government is shut down. Is there anything going on?
Well, there's a lot going on, Chip. I think this government shutdown is probably going to continue for a while. I fully expect that this is going to go into November. I was joking with some folks in the office earlier this week. I don't know what sofa that the OMB folks are buying, but I want that sofa because it seems like they're finding billions of dollars under every seat cushion. So I want that sofa. But in all seriousness, I think that this probably will go on till probably mid-November. I think by then, the ability of the Trump administration to access funds will probably start dissipating, and we'll probably need some action.
Okay. What ends the shutdown, Randy? What do you think is going to get us there?
I think it's a combination of things, Chip. I think when you start having some programs that touch the lives of average Americans and also low-income Americans, at some point I think that's going to happen in November. Also, if we happen to see problems at the airport in terms of TSA and delays in flights, there's nothing that gets people's attention than that. So I just think you get into November and it becomes much more difficult for the administration to find funding for these programs that will be out of funding.
Okay, and how does it resolve? Does it resolve with a continuing resolution, or do we start to see some give and take between the two?
Chip, I think what happens is we get a short-term funding to open the government with some kind of a commitment that the Democrats would be willing to accept to address this health care tax credit that is pending. And then we'll go to the end of the year, and I suspect Congress will be here at least till Christmas, if not New Year's, debating how to fund the government for the rest of the fiscal year. And I think we may get an agriculture appropriations bill actually done, but most of the appropriation bills will be just a straight, what we call continuing resolution.
Okay.
Then they're going to have to cut a deal on this tax credit for health care, which, as you know, is controversial because, A, it's very expensive, and the Republicans want to put income or caps on the tax credit. The Democrats want it permanent. I find that interesting because when they were in control of Congress and the White House, they didn't even make it permanent. So I think that's probably unrealistic. So I think this is going to be a very, very long 7-8 weeks going into the end of the year once Congress does cut a deal to open the government.
Okay. Well, and once the government does reopen, there's a widespread expectation that one of the first things that's going to happen is that Congress is going to get together on a trade aid, financial aid package for farmers. Is that the right expectation?
Chip, I would view it in it's a two-step process. I think as soon as the government opens, I think you'll see Secretary Rollins using that $13 billion that's been set aside and announce some emergency financial assistance. So that's kind of step one. But step two is Congress taking action, and you hear various numbers, another $20 or $30 billion on top of that, primarily funded through increased tariff revenues coming in to Section 32, and using those funds to make additional payments to farmers. So I think that's on tap to be done between now and the end of this calendar year. What that looks like, we still have to see what the details are going to be.
Okay. All right. Jim, what are you thinking on the trade aid payment? What about the timing on it, Jim?
Well, this, if we do have the meeting with China, that'll help them determine what level. We're going to have to see if he gives any on soybean and sorghum purchases, Xi Jinping. But I agree with Randy. That's the first of the two-step process, the trade aid first, and then near the end of the year under a must-pass appropriations bill, much like they did last year on December 21st on the economic aid. On the government shutdown, I think after November 1, the Democrats will get, they will never say this publicly, but they'll get what they really want, the dramatic increase in those Obamacare costs, and then they can point the finger at Trump, at least they think politically. And then they got what they want, and then they're probably going to be more willing to give. But I don't know, Randy, what's the White House give on Obamacare? Well, I don't see any give now.
I think the Republicans in Congress, Jim, are going to focus on income caps.
Yes.
On this, because it's extremely costly. And just remember, you reported this earlier in the week. In the last 2 months, we've added $1 trillion to our national debt. It's the fastest that's ever happened. And at some point, we have to start getting real about the fiscal consequences of some of these programs. And healthcare costs are one of those things that are really driving that increase in total debt.
Yes. Yeah, it is scary. There's no question about it. Randy, the beef issue that has captured so much attention in Washington, D.C. this week, how do you view it? What's your take?
It's been an interesting couple of days of back and forth on Argentine beef. So maybe just a level set, you know, what's being talked about here is a fourfold increase in the tariff rate quota that would be given to Argentina for exporting beef to the U.S. from 20,000 tons to 80,000 tons. Now, to put that in perspective, Chip, our domestic consumption of beef is 13 million metric tons. So even with that increase, we're talking about 0.5% of total U.S. consumption. Now, having said that, I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of the government intervening in markets. I think that there are oftentimes unintended consequences that happen when the government gets involved in the markets. We have the lowest cattle herd in 75 years. Former Secretary Dick Ling used to always say, when prices get high enough, roosters lay eggs. I think that there is a little analogy there that, you know, the market will take care of itself as long as we don't get in the way and send out signals that I think would stretch out this this process. So I'm not a big fan of intervening in the market. I think we got to let the market signals help expand the herd and do it appropriately. Lastly, though, I think there's a broader issue here, Chip, and that is just looking beyond Argentina and Brazil. And I heard your previous segment with Jim's comments. I really think with this lead up to the meeting with President Xi and President Trump on Thursday, there's a geopolitical argument here. I really think from the president's perspective, having these relations rebuilt with Argentina and Brazil are critically important as we go forward because of the relationship between China and the United States and the fact that China wants to be less dependent on the United States for food.
Yeah.
They want to be less dependent on the United States for technology. And from our perspective, we want to be less dependent on China for for rare earth materials. And I think the president and his team are trying to get Argentina and Brazil in a position where they are more aligned with us as going forward in terms of this relationship with China.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim, Randy makes a great point. In a lot of cases, when you see something that appears to be a head-on comment from Trump to the world on trade issues, you gotta reimagine it and think, how does he think that this is flanking, that this might be a flanking move? And you gotta look at it from all angles on this, don't you?
Yeah, Treasury Secretary Bessent keeps saying we've got to de-risk. So it happens both ways. And this is why the soybean sector in the U.S. has to realize that they're not going to get those lofty levels of purchases in the future unless they're locked into any trade agreement. You can't really trust China anyway on that. So that means, again, domestic utilization, additional of corn and soybeans.
Yep. Back on the Argentine beef hill, Randy, Senator Grassley was on the show on Monday. And when I asked him about his message to President Trump regarding the beef issues, he said this on Monday. He said, President Trump ought to keep his mouth shut on beef. That's what he said. Too bad it didn't work out that way.
Well, far be it for me to say anything other than I appreciate Senator Grassley greatly for all the great work he does for production agriculture. You know, Chip, I also think in Washington we get very focused on one specific thing. And I think the whole Argentine beef thing, like I said, I've made my views known. I'm not a big believer in intervening in the market. The other side of it is I agree with your statement. Trump makes a statement, and you got to look much broader than just what that statement is. There's always some other play that is in place here, and I really do think it has to do with our relationship with China.
Yes. Yep. Building up a better relationship with Argentina could be a tactic to put a chip in the bricks, and we've got to keep that in mind. And that's one of the reasons he's got the title and we don't. Randy, thank you so much for making time.
My pleasure, Jim.
All right, Randy Russell from the Russell Group, D.C. Jim will be right back with us on the free-for-all.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-921-5252. That's 800-921-5252. 800-921-5252.
Oh, let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
Now, Brandon Hume, agronomist for Champion Seed. Champion is, of course, an independent seed company. Brandon, corn harvest is underway. Some operations are finishing up already. What have been the main topics of concern this fall?
Southern rust has definitely dominated the discussion this fall, from hybrid differences to fungicide versus no fungicide, multiple passes of fungicide, and even timing of those passes.
What do we know about southern rust? And what are the risks that we need to be aware of for 26?
Well, southern rust is not a disease that overwinters, and so that's what makes it so difficult to predict, will we see this disease next year? Traditionally, we'd say no, but we did see some southern rust in 2024, and then again here in 2025. And so, leaves a lot of uncertainty going into 2026, what we're going to see.
Yeah, okay. So with all this uncertainty around the disease for next year, what is the best way to put a crop plan together this winter as we're looking into 2026?
Like any year, we want to stick with what we know and what we can control. So hybrids that are proven and that have been working for us, planning for diseases that do overwinter in our geography, and following just that proven track record on your farm is still going to be the plan of attack. So while it's wise to have a disease management in place, and if southern rust does come back as severely and as widespread, be ready to treat for it. But really, we want to go with kind of the proven products that we know work in our area.
Gotcha. Okay, so how can farmers learn more about southern rust and other agronomic issues that they might face next year?
Visit plantchampion.com. We have an agronomy library, which has a wide range of articles from insects to diseases and different management practices that farmers may be wanting to research more this offseason.
Excellent. Thank you, Brandon. That is Brandon Hulm, Champion Seed Agronomist.
They say that good things come in threes, and now Pivot Bio Proven G3 is proving it. The first proven product with three modes of action is now available to feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Proven G3 locks in at the roots to deliver steady nutrition when and where your corn needs it most. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com/provenG3.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastat Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force. Outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastat.com. Available for the 2027 season.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
All right, we're going to go quick fire through some issues here, try to get to the end and include everything that we want to. We got the free-for-all. I'm your host, Chip, and we've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Wiesmeyer's Perspective Podcast. Jim, this was just officially announced, was anticipated, but the USTR has initiated a Section 301 investigation of China's implementation of the Phase 1 agreement. It's a lot of positioning here again, isn't it?
Absolutely. The timing of that was not an accident, Jeff. This is a card for Trump when he deals with Xi Jinping, if they meet officially, saying, right, okay, this is, you didn't follow through.
Exactly. And it shouldn't have taken anybody from the Biden administration checking on you to get follow through. You should have followed through on your own. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep. Okay. We were supposed, I think today is the day that we were supposed to get the cattle on feed report. That is not going to happen, but we're going to be talking about feeder cattle imports next week with Mexico. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, she's going to meet with her counterpart in Mexico. But, you know, I went back and looked, and the records show that blanket closures of the border haven't been the historical norm, Chip. Before the current outbreaks, we rarely halted Mexico cattle trade outright because of screwworm risk. Even when Mexico still battled the screwworm in the 80s, the U.S. border stayed open to feeder cattle under safeguards. Now, yep, what changed? That longstanding equilibrium shifted when the screwworm reemerged in southern Mexico late in 2024, and we temporarily suspended all live animal entities, and then it was taken off and then put back on. Yep. Now, the bottom line on this is, there was an effort by some to include the reopening of the border in this 13-page document, Chip, but right, she didn't go that way. It's a sensitive issue. One excellent contact I have said, we live in the age of social media where any attempt to open the border now is met with the barrage of protectionism. It shifts the political dynamic. The February 2025 Memorandum of Understanding mandated treatment on both sides of the border. Plus, the last time USDA was poised to reopen the ports, that remember June, July, it was only in the western Mexican states via the Arizona ports. Just going back to the decades-long normal trade pattern will stabilize beef prices and we can move on from this Argentine chaos. I'd rather feed and process Mexican cattle in the U.S. than continue this talk of importing more foreign beef. But I also understand Rollins prefers to have domestic production of sterile flies a little further down the road before she resumes imports of live cattle from Mexico.
Okay.
So it's coming, now, Chip. It's coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it is coming. But I do want to point this out. One of the things in the plan is regarding the voluntary country of origin labeling. And they are making it very clear that if you are going to put the product of USA on it, that animal has to be born, raised, and processed in the United States. So all those Texas feedlots that are bringing in 500-pound Mexican calves and finishing them, those cattle, under the plan that I see, are not going to be carrying, or I should say their steaks, are not going to have the product of USDA label on them.
True, true. And that's where the current administration and Rollins, I would say, are more populist than people think. Uh-huh. And so that's why the mandatory country of origin labeling crowd is working on her. They want mandatory.
Yeah,
they haven't gone that way.
And I get it. You know, I understand the arguments. And I'm gonna go ahead and say this, and I'm going to get roasted for saying it. If we put mandatory country of origin labeling on it, that's when the WTO, in its weak enforcement issues, but all of a sudden we're going to owe money and fees and fines to countries around the world if we do that, right, Jim?
Yes, yeah. And if Sean was on here, he'd give the Canadian perspective that this raises all sorts of unintended consequences on the Canadian side as well.
Yeah, speaking of those unintended consequences, I was so happy to hear Randy say that in the last segment. And when I mentioned Grassley and his comments on the show on Monday, I wanted to get to he also gave us a history lesson all the way back to the Nixon administration and what happens when you put price controls on things like beef.
True.
Talk about unintended consequences.
Yeah, remember President Ford's whip inflation now. Remember that one?
Where they Yep. Okay, real good, real quick, some good news. FSA offices are reopening.
Now, there was a few kerfuffles at the beginning, and that's to be expected. It's going to take a few days. I think I had a lot of emails from farmers saying, you know, they weren't ready to go, but, you know, they had to make certain program funding was received prior to opening up the payments. But by now, all offices should have signs up saying that they're open. They've updated their phone messages. Staff should be answering the phones, and they're scrambling to get the computers going, software packages, et cetera, but by early next week, it should flow, Chip.
Okay, 30 seconds. The American Petroleum Institute pulled its support for year-round nationwide E15.
They want other things on SREs, changes to what I interpret as 45Z, reduction in RIN values proposed for biofuel made from imported feedstocks. And so that's why they withheld their support for year-round E15 until they get those reforms, as they call them.
Boy, you want to talk about a way for President Trump to get back on the good graces or on the positive side. Put your full support behind E15 and let's get this done, right, Jim?
You're round E15, absolutely.
Absolutely. Jim, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. Sure. You have a great weekend. Is it Go Blue Jays? Is that where you're at? I think he already left us. Wow. All right. Thank you so much for listening this morning. I got to be out of the studio this afternoon. Ted Seifert and Davis will keep the conversation going.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. You'd never settle for underperformance. You'd never settle for less than maximum yield. You'd never settle for gaps in the stand. So why settle for anything less than DeKalb corn? DeKalb seed is for those who make outstanding performance a priority. With a broad portfolio of products bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand corn. Never settle. Visit DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Every hockey player knows the secret to becoming a great skater is time on the ice. But rink time? It's tough to get, expensive, and so inconvenient. This winter, what if your kids could skate anytime they want, right in your own backyard? With Yard Rink, they can. In about an hour, you can transform your yard into an amazing outdoor rink. It's easy to set up and plays like a professional rink. Watch their hockey skills explode to the next level while they're having the time of their lives. Even Yard Rink ambassador Wayne Gretzky says he wishes he had a yard rink when he was a kid. Order today at yardrink.com and save hundreds by using code RADIO21. Nearly 300 sizes are available, starting at just $9.99. Plus, get two puck retention nets and your favorite NHL team logos free. That's YARDRINK.com. And save 21% by using code RADIO21. Give your kids more fun-filled ice time and help their hockey dreams come true.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. After pleading not guilty inside a federal mortgage fraud case, New York Attorney General Letitia James spoke outside the courthouse in Virginia.
No fear.